Message this morning is found in Ephesians 1 through 4, 6, 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for Father's Day. I thank you for fathers. I thank you for our Heavenly Father. Thank you for you. God, I ask this morning that you bless us. That you bless our time. That you bless our presence here. God, that you just bless our hearing, God, that as we hear your word, God, that it would speak to us. God, it would just touch us. God, that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened. God, that we would hear the word spoken. God, that I would speak it with clarity. God, that it would touching each and every one of us, God, for those who are here, listening online, listening later, God, that we would hear it with clarity, God, and understanding. And God, and I pray that it would just touch each and every one of us right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that it just speak to each and every one of us, God, that we would hear, it would touch, it would impact. Lord, I pray that it just move in power, God. I just pray that you have your way, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse, starting that first verse, it says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I've entitled the message, Being a Godly Father. But the question this morning is, what is a godly father? And if I was to go to a mall or go out to a public place, and I was to ask people what a godly father is, I think I'd get a lot of different responses. And I think even just what it is to be godly would get a lot of different responses. I mean, we live in a day and a time when defining what a man is would get a lot of different responses. So defining today what a godly father is could be difficult. And so I want you just to think is what would define being a godly father? Not what you think it is, but what does the scriptures say about being a godly father? And that can be hard for some. Maybe your father didn't meet that definition. Maybe your father wasn't around. Maybe he didn't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe that wasn't modeled. Maybe your father was the definition of a godly father. So that's easy to wrap your brain around. But this is one thing I know, that in today's time, in today's culture, being a father is not easy. Being a father is not easy. You're being pulled in so many different directions. Your work, society is, there's so many things going on in society, and you're being pulled in different directions, and just being a man or being a person in modern society, you've got so many things vying for your attention and pulling at your heart and pulling at your desires and your attention. Just being an individual in this culture is difficult. Just to be a Christian in this culture is difficult because for you to live out your Christian faith, it is pulling at your desires, and in everything is everywhere you go, the radio, the TV, the books that you read, the conversations, you're being attacked on every front. And you have to make decisions every day. You have to choose to each day to bear your cross, to decide to live out your Christian faith. You have to decide that today. And ask Holy Spirit to empower me now as a father or a mother, or decide today I'm going to be a Christian mother or a Christian father, and I'm going to model out my Christian faith for a young child or an adult child, and I'm going to do this. It is difficult because the world around us does not want us to do this example, so it is difficult. And you watch TV, and I know the TV is not meant to give us a realistic presentation of what the world is like. One of the things is, I know you watch the Cosbys and you watch TV show. The Cosbys was not, it wasn't real life. You watch the Cosbys, and who did you know that had a home like the Cosbys? The Cosbys weren't realistic. The dad was a doctor, and I think the mom was some type of wealthy individual, and they were wealthy, they were well-to-do, and they had this well-to-do life, and they had this nice big home, and they had these things going on, and they just lived a life that most people didn't live. And or even if you look at other people, and on TV, they just live a life that's not realistic, or they depict men, or they depict individuals in ways that it is not fair to them. And so being a father is not easy. You're dealing with things. You have to go to work, and you're dealing with all of these things. And if they said it was easy, more people would do it. And it's even more difficult if you didn't have a father around, or if your father wasn't a good example. So being a father is not easy. And not to mention this, there are spiritual forces that want to take you down. They want to take, if you're married, they want to take your marriage down. They want to seize your child. They can't get to you. They can't get to your marriage. These spiritual forces want to get to your children. So you have to be a person of prayer for yourself and for your marriage and for your children. And it's a heavy burden to carry. And you have to do this day in and day out, week after week, year after year. And you can't throw in the towel. You can't quit. You can't take a sabbatical. You can't take a vacation. Because if you do, who's there to pick up the slack? You can't call someone else and say, hey, I don't want to do this no more. Can you come in and do this for me? So here's the thing. Our second point this morning is model a godly life. Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, we love to quote this to our children, okay? We like to get them with this verse, but I want to put a fresh pair of eyes on this, okay? What if the reason Paul is writing this is not so parents can get their children, but what if Paul is writing this to children in the Ephesian church? He's writing this to Christian children whose parents aren't Christian. And he's saying, hey, Ephesian children, you've come into the faith, but your parents aren't necessarily Christian. Or maybe one of your parents is Christian. Maybe mom's a Christian and dad's not a Christian. You still need to obey your parent as much as you possibly can, unless it contradicts or contramands the faith. Because honoring your mother and father was the first commandment with a promise. So if you're not honoring them, if you don't obey your parents, you're not honoring one of the Ten Commandments. Puts a different light on how we read this verse. If Paul's writing this to these Ephesian children, saying, hey, I know you're in a household where one of your parents, if maybe not both of your parents, aren't saved, but you still need as much as possible to be obedient to him. I think it puts a different light on this verse. But also, let me take this even further, is modeling a godly life for us is particularly fathers, but even mothers. I want us to think about this in another way, is modeling this godly life. Going back into chapter 5, Paul writing the Ephesians, he's got this whole thing and this, he's talking about this family dynamic. And Paul, he's writing and he's talking to husbands and wives. He's really talking to the whole family. And he tells the husbands back in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. And gave himself up for the church. He's saying, husbands, love your wife sacrificially. That's modeling love for your children. Model love for your children. But even bigger and beyond that, if you model Christ-like love for your children, it's a lot easier for your children to follow your example. It's easier for your children to obey you if you walk it out and live it out. So it's easy. Yes, obey me, okay? If you're living out what you're saying you're doing, okay? Now, I always feel like being a parent is a lot like baseball. I have struck out and missed the ball a lot more times than I've actually got on base. I've had more failure than successes, and I've learned from it. But we model things. Your children, our children, will follow us. They will follow Jesus much easier when we model it out. Our children are not going to follow Jesus if we do not model it, okay? So if we love our spouses, if we honor them, they're going to be much more likely to follow Jesus. Because if they see us loving our spouses, if we're honoring, because even if we're not with their mother or their father, but if we're honoring them, if we're being decent to them, if we're showing love to them, and they're seeing that, and if they're seeing us showing Christ-like character, and they're seeing us being respectful, and they're seeing us being honoring, if they're seeing us being decent to the waiter, if they're seeing us being decent to the postman, if they're seeing us being decent to the low people in society. Okay, I'm not talking about just we're being nice to the upper echelon of people, but if they're seeing us being nice and decent and respectful and honoring to those who others view as less than, they're going to model that. They're going to see that. Okay? So we have to model a godly life. Okay? We can't be out here telling them not to do this. And then we go do it. If we're telling them not to do X, Y, and Z, we can't do X, Y, and Z. It's a lot easier if you honor their mother, or if you honor your parents, it's a lot easier for them to honor you. So your life should make obedience easier for your children. Okay. But I'm just going to tell you, if you don't honor your parents, it's going to be a lot harder for your child to follow Jesus. If they don't see you honoring and being respectful to your parents, it's going to be really hard for them to follow Jesus. We have to model a godly life. We cannot just talk about a godly life. We have to model it up. And it's just not even just about which is family. It's about how we interact in the business world. It's about how we behave in a home. It's how we behave at the dinner table. It's how we do all of these things. How we live out our faith. In public and in private. You want your kids to have a prayer life. You need to have a prayer life. You need to model it. You want your kids to have a devotional life. You need to have a devotional life and model it. You want your kids to do something, you have to model it for them. And I'm not talking about being fake, where you're just doing something for them to see. You actually have to live it out. Model a godly life for them. Third point. Raise godly children, okay? This one's an interesting one. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What he's really saying is, don't exasperate your children. Do not wear them out. This one, I think we read wrong. It says, bring them up in discipline. We tend to think this one's actually talking about spanking. Yes, discipline is good, okay? But really, what this is talking about is discipline is less, it's talking less about corporal punishment, okay? Yes, I know it talks about sparing the rod and what, Proverbs. But nowhere actually in the New Testament does it actually ever talk about striking a child. Now in the Didache, which is like it's the really this is the first Christian writing outside of the New Testament that we have. Okay, the Didache does talk about if you withhold your hand from a child, you're spoiling. But in the New Testament, it never once actually talks about striking your child. Now I'm not saying that the New Testament would be against spanking your child. I'm not saying that. But it's interesting, the New Testament never talks about spanking your child. But it does talk about, when it talks about discipline, it's talking about training your child. So when it talks about discipline, it's talking about training. So training or discipline is good. So train your child. So model, yes, model it out. Train your children, not just little ones. Big ones is, your job, our job is fathers, our job is parents, mothers, does not end when they turn 18, doesn't end when they turn 30. They may approach you when you're 80. They're going to ask you questions. When you're 80, you'll have lots of wisdom and they're going to come and ask you questions. Because now they're going to figure out, mom and dad have lots of wisdom, and I need it. So help train them in godliness. Help train them. Give godly instruction. Spend time reading scripture with them. Help them to understand the word of God. Spend time praying with them. I'm not talking about you got to have deep prayer with them right away, but help them understand the basics of prayer. Teach them to pray over meals. Help them pray. When they see scary things on news, spend time praying with them. And help them. As time goes on, do the appropriate things. Take the next appropriate step, but don't exasperate them. Don't provoke your children to anger. Okay. But they're saying don't exasperate them. Don't do too much is what it's saying. It's basically like you're baking or something. Don't overwhip the batter. Just enough. You don't want to underdo it, but you don't want to overdo it. Don't wear out your children. Don't ignore them. Don't just ignore them. Let them go off the rails. But don't overbear them either and wear them out. You got to figure out the balance. Now, here's the unique thing with your kids, okay? Each kid's unique. Some kids are going to need more. Some kids are going to need less. And you got to figure out those kids. And you could have a set of twins. One of those twins are going to need more. One of them is going to need less. And you're going to have to figure out how to shepherd them. Some you can let go way, some you can let go off pretty far, and they're going to be okay. Some you're going to need that shepherd's hook, and you're going to need to pull them close. You might need to hit them with the shepherd's hook on occasion, okay? They're just different, and you're going to have to figure out what each one is going to need. You'll make mistakes. Don't beat yourself up. But you got to model that godly life, discipline, give godly instruction, but don't wear them out. Okay, here's our big idea this morning. Okay, this isn't complicated. It's difficult. It's not easy. God has called you to be a father. Do it well. Your children need you. God has called you to be a father. God has called you to be a parent. Do it well. It won't be easy. There's times you won't want to do it. You may not like the sport your child picks. You may not like the activity. It may drive you crazy. And maybe whatever. Just do it. Just be like Nike. Just do it. Do it well. Your children need you. Okay? Don't let the teacher do it. Don't let their friends do it. They need you. They don't need no one else. They need you. Because guess what? God allowed you. He didn't let someone else down the street do it. He didn't let the neighbor do it. He didn't let the teacher do it. He let you. Here's the thing. Have you messed up as a father? Maybe your father messed up. And maybe you're mad that your father messed up. Don't let that define you. Don't let Satan use that to mess you up. Don't let that eat at you. Satan's really good at that. Well, you don't know. My father messed me up. I'm angry and I'm bitter about that. Yeah, Satan's really good at using those things and letting that just eat away at us and define us as parents. Yeah, don't let that mess you up as a parent. That will just define you and mess you up as a parent and mess your kid up. Don't do that, okay? Like I said, you're going to mess up. Fall down, get back up. Tell your kid, hey, I messed up. Didn't go to an event because you didn't like the whatever. You didn't like basketball. Hey, I messed up. Talk to your kid. For the most part, they're pretty forgiving. Choose to be a godly father today. Choose to be a godly parent today, moms. You can replace father. Be a godly mom. Choose to be a godly parent today. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, if it was easy, we'd all do it. But God, it's important. And it needs to be done. And it needs to be done now. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit empower us and strengthen us for the task. Because we need your Holy Spirit to empower us and strengthen us more than ever. We need godly fathers, godly mothers to raise our children, God. We need adult children, need godly parents for wisdom and advice and strength. God, this isn't just for children of little ones. God, we need parents to step up for adult children to be loved on, to be given advice, wisdom. So God, I pray today that parents of all stripes, old, young, new, seasoned, ones that they think their day is gone, God, I pray they step up to be godly parents. God, it's difficult, but I pray we model godly lives, raise godly children. We're called to it. God, strengthen us now. I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.